Yeah. Yeah. What? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hello there.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Lavender Fix podcast. I'm your host, Sabreen Hazig, and I am very proud of myself for being intentional about working out this past week. It really has put my life sort of back into a straitjacket, and I'm feeling incredibly grateful. Speaking of health and fitness, today I have with me one of the leading fitness and wellness professionals from India, and someone who really has been a pioneer of the wellness and fitness industry since 1997. I'll be very honest with you guys. It took me the most amount of time to write down this introduction because my next guest is accomplished beyond words. She is a mom of two, a kick-ass business owner who is running 6 state-of-the-art personal training studios in New Delhi. She is consulting for numerous day spa brands aside from owning one herself. She owns a fitness apparel line. She is a contributing writer for major national publications and has hosted many health and fitness programs on television. And don't even get me started on her educational credentials. So without further ado, please welcome none other than Sumaya Dalmia. Hello, Sumaya. Thank you so much for being here with me. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And thank you for looking out for me, Boston to Delhi. I think that's the most fun part, that you found me.
Yeah, no. Of course. I think it's all about networking and, you know, getting people with interesting stories and backgrounds to the forefront. And you were a perfect fit, and I jumped at the opportunity. So that's that.
Super excited.
Sorry, what?
I said super excited.
Oh, yes, likewise. As I was mentioning in my introduction, I had a really hard time, honestly, rounding up your background and your accomplishments because you have so many things that you've done in your life. So can you please throw some light on your illustrious educational background? I think we need a little foundation for your badassery.
I've had an eventful but yet uneventful one. Uh-huh. I did economics honors in that's what I studied, and you know, my love for fitness always stayed because I was someone who was into national level track and field. Mm-hmm. And I was someone you'd always see on court but you never find in classrooms, you know. And I guess economics came to me with a little bit of push from my mom. I remember my last board exam, which was our last term. For you, it'll be your 12th grade. Mm-hmm. We were taking our final exams and, you know, hadn't studied for it. And she was like, it's not going to happen. You've got to stop playing and you've got to come and spend at least 3 months because it's a very big exam. It's like how you take your SATs,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
And I was like, okay. And she basically sat with me for like 3 months and literally tutored me right up for all my subjects, and I surprisingly came out with 91%, and everyone was really surprised.
Wow.
So that got me into one of the prestigious colleges in Delhi, in India actually, where, you know, people from all over the world would actually try and make it to that college.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So I did St. Stephen's Economics Honors. Mm-hmm. But my love for sport always remained. And my sister was in the US at that point while I was still in college, and I came to visit her on a trip. And, you know, I joined the gym with her and we worked out together, and we both hired for fun. We hired these personal trainers. And one day when I was training with my personal trainer, I was so impressed by him because he was being so specific, and it was not like one size fits all. You know, he was doing a different thing with my sister.
Sure.
He was doing a different thing for me. So I just happened to ask him, I was like, so, you know, what do you do and what makes you you?
Mm-hmm.
And he found that question so funny, maybe because the way I'd asked him that question, mm-hmm. but, anyway, he was like, oh, you know, I did a master's in sports science and I trained the NFL team and this is my side gig. And he had my ears like standing, and I was like, so what's a master's in sports science? He's like, oh, that's, you know, that's 3-year degree where you study anatomy, physiology, you do sports science. So in my mind, I was so clear that that's what I wanted to do in my master's. But of course, back home in India, it was sport was just limited to cricket.
Exactly.
But there was nothing to do with fitness. There was nothing to do with health. There was nothing to do with preventive health. You know, that wasn't even an industry at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't even think people knew very much about it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's it. So when I decided to apply for my master's, I was very clear that I wanted to do sports science. But my family was like, listen, what's the career with that? Like, what are you going to do?
So typical.
You know, like, yeah. So what are you going to do when you're a woman? And, you know, even if there was, they always thought about, like, you know, how it would be in the, you know, village Akharas, like, you know, big boxing rings with, like, men.
Right.
And for them, that was the whole thing. And I was like, no, but anyway, we kind of came to a understanding that I would go for economics. And if I did decide to switch, then I'd have to do like a double degree.
Sure.
So that was it. So I came here and I came to the US. I did a master's in economics and sports science. So I did a double degree. And that was me.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, sorry, Sumaya, I wanted to ask you one thing, which is, I mean, economics is a very serious subject, right? As a graduate of economics from one of the most prestigious colleges in India, which is St. Stephen's in Delhi University, did you envision yourself ever pivoting to fitness and wellness at all? Did you think about it ever?
I think I did the economics only because I got the best college with the best course.
I see.
If I knew that India ever offered something to do with sports, I think my love would still lie.
Mm-hmm.
I would still lean towards that because, you know, I was someone who was always very sporty and I just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I think economics is you know, today I run a business, which is, you know, I run very premium health clubs in India. And I think the economics background really gives me a good perspective on the business sides of things.
Sure.
And of course, the passion for fitness leads the way, but it's the economics background that kind of, you know, gives me a little bit of an insight into how
to run a business.
Operate. Yeah,
sure.
To run a business. So I think that is really, I was lucky to have, you know, had that opportunity to do both, destiny, you know.
Yeah.
And I always knew that if sports never worked out for me and if I did economics, and if I did sports science and I didn't have a career with it, I could always do anything with anything, mm-hmm. because I had a master's in economics, right?
Right.
So that was it. And then I was in New York. I worked with a couple of health clubs here. Then I moved to London with my boyfriend, now husband. I worked with Holland & Barrett for a year. Then I worked with Nike for a year, you know, for 6 months. Till I moved back to Delhi and I was going to have my first child. And I decided that, you know, I want to do something with what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being pregnant and working out in a gym in Delhi. And, you know, gyms had kind of come into India by then.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really funny. I was working out in a gym and they had all these signs all over the place because I was the only pregnant person 14 years ago working out. And they had these signs, pregnant people at your own risk, you know. And that's when I realized that, you know, we're so backward when it comes to fitness and health.
Mm.
That I'm going to do something of my own for sure once I have my baby.
Right.
And it is going to definitely be something leaning on towards these lines where I would really address that, you know, everyone's different. Everyone is unique.
Sure.
Everyone, you know, there's no one size fits all for fitness. What works for you will not work for me. And I think people miss that.
Right.
You know, it's not, fitness is not generic.
Mm-hmm. And
it really does end up becoming a bit specific.
Yeah, no, of course. And you're giving all the juice away. So I want you to hold that because I have like so many questions for you. You're like giving me all the juicy stuff and I'm pretty sure everyone who's listening in is like, oh my God, I got the best stuff right in the beginning. And I'm like, no, you need to stay till the very end.
No, it's a build up. It's a build up.
It's a build up. So Maya, as you were talking about this, you know, sort of this general understanding among, you know, fitness veterans that personal training, studio ownership, presenters at industry events, and, you know, especially in strength and conditioning, this is primarily a male-dominated field, right? So how did you go about flipping that script, especially as a woman and as a mother of two?
I think the science of fitness is same whether you're a man or a woman, right? It doesn't change.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where I came, you know, that's where I was coming from. It didn't matter to me in my mind. It was like, I'm so well qualified than most people in this subject because typically people would just do a course, like a vocational course, like a 3-month personal mm-hmm. training certification, right? And here I was, I spent 3 years studying it, anatomy, physiology, sports science, sports nutrition, performance enhancement, how to basically extract the best out of an athlete, right? Mm-hmm. So I think for me, it just came, it didn't matter whether I was a woman. For me, it was the science. And all I needed to do was apply the science to everyone, whether that was someone who was 20 years old or whether that was someone who was 60.
Sure.
It didn't matter. It was all about extracting the best out of best performance from anyone, mm-hmm. even if he or she wasn't an athlete. So, of course, I think initially when I started my own, so I had a little bit of a journey. You know, first I started a small studio to test waters mm-hmm. and I wanted to see how that would work. And it was really small. It was based out of one room. And all I was doing was, because I just had a baby, and all I was doing was just doing consults of like guiding people of how to tailor make their fitness or sport conditioning programs and, you know, alongside with personal nutrition, you know, things that would work for them, whether you were pregnant or whether you were training for a marathon,
like
custom made programs. And mm-hmm. that really did well. And I was literally sitting out of one room. And wow. That's when my husband was like, listen, you've got something going. I think, you know, do you want to do this professionally? I said, what do you mean? He's like, why don't you open a little bigger studio, like a gym? But not like a 7,000 square feet gym, but right. like start small. So where you can train like 5-6 people and you can translate whatever you've learned towards stronger teams so that you are led by a team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually what made a lot of sense to me, because here I was one person, and how much could one person do?
Sure.
And it was, I think, the biggest turning point for me, because I realized I was a good teacher. In mm-hmm. terms of like actually training, teaching people how to train further.
Correct.
And that's how Somaya started as a brand. And while the brand was doing really well, and, you know, of course, we got men and women as our clients, even though most of the trainers who worked with me, alongside me, were men. But mm-hmm. I think people really understood that she knows what she's doing, and it right. doesn't matter whether she's a man or a woman, but she just knows what she's doing.
Exactly.
And that she's so well knowledgeable about the subject that it was literally that they wanted to come to the space.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's really what worked. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from there, as the business grew, we found that we were lacking trainers. So we started an academy, and the academy was to actually train trainers, because your experience of Somaya would not just be me. It would be the trainer, and whether he's carrying forward that philosophy of customized training, of really understanding who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what really worked for me.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, of course.
Addressing fitness more in a customized manner rather than it being very generic.
Sure. And I mean, you capitalized on an opportunity which pretty much wasn't existing at the time. So I think that was really smart. And then, you know, to have someone like your partner really instill confidence in you and to give you that extra little push is, I think, cherry on top. So I think that
Totally. You know, in India, in the West, it's very normal for women to work. You know, in India, back in the day, once you got married, I'm not saying it was not done, but it was still an exception to the rule, you know?
Sure.
Most
I mean, it still
just
is.
Got married and have kids.
It still is. Right. We're
and
in 2020.
And, you know, here he was supporting me, saying, okay, you're literally in a man's world in terms of a career. Why don't you do this? You're so good at it. Why don't you do it? And I think that support, and he was also the brain behind expanding Somaya as a franchise model, you know.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I was still very like, oh my God, I want it to be mine and I want full control over it. And he's like, you can still have that control if you run it as a franchise. Look at McDonald's, they know exactly what they're doing, right down to the last sauce that they put in, you know, mm-hmm. how much they need to use. So you just need to understand your operations.
Sure.
And, you know, make sure that the soul of the business still stays. So I think that has been really helpful for me, to have my partner and husband be so passionate alongside me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To see me living my dream. I think it gives him so much happiness when he sees me work 10 hours a day and really not feel it.
Yeah.
He almost feels envious of me.
Right.
You know, he's like, you're so lucky, you enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, that's hard, but I think that's the goal for everyone. So Maya, as you know, now we are living in some very strange times that have, forced us to sort of shelter in place. And as a result of which, a lot of folks who are otherwise very active or people who are running fitness studios have had to, figure out creative ways to stay fit. Having said that, I know that fitness is not an equipment. It is, in fact, truly, a way of life. You have to adopt it. And there are really no excuses. So I remember when you and I were chatting a few days ago, you said that, you have two kids and you have managed to remain super motivated throughout these past years. I mean, yes, we're in quarantine right now, but you've been really active. I just feel like with two kids, like I know people who have one kid and they barely find the time to eat. So I really want to understand, how have you managed this?
Like I said, I think I was born for sport. I just love what I can extract out of my body.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's just a way of life. I think for me, just movement, I won't even say fitness, just moving, is like meditation. So when I'm having a shit day or when things are feeling overwhelming for me, whether it's at work or it's with the kids or it's just within the environment, if I can even get half an hour of some kind of movement, that could be me going for a walk, that could be running, or it could be a 20-minute Tabata workout, or it could be just a yoga flow, anything. I'm so addicted to how I feel post that.
I know.
That's what makes me show up. So, people would say that, oh my God, you're so motivated. Like, you show up on the mat every day. I don't. Like yesterday, I'll tell you, we'd gone out and my sister's having, I'm here for a reason. My sister's being through a little bit of a struggling time. So as a family, we are struggling in a little bit. So, everyone's a bit low. And I just looked at them and I was like, listen, guys, just come with me. And both my brother-in-law and sister-in-law don't work out. And I said, just come with me and I'm going to make you do a Pilates mat workout. And they're like, what's that? So I took them on the mat and we literally did 10 or 12 minutes of movement. And I could see their faces and, they just felt so much more relaxed. They felt like they were in control of their emotions.
Mm.
And, until you experience that, you don't understand what I'm saying. And
yeah,
that's why
true.
I tell everyone that, when you want to adopt this as a lifestyle, it takes 21 days to make a habit. It's the first 21 days that you just have to push through to really enjoy. Yeah, they're the hardest. And, even there are days for me when I don't want to show up. But I know how I'm so addicted to how I feel later.
Same.
That's what really pushes me.
Yeah. And by the way, Sumaya, I am saying same as if I've been working out for years. But the reality is I've had phases and I've not always been very active. But I agree with you. I think for the past week and a half, I've been working out for 30 minutes every single day with one rest day per week. And I'm also really addicted to how you feel right after the workout. You feel more relaxed. Your muscles are more sort of in place. So I agree with you. And so this actually brings me...
Sorry to interrupt you.
But I want
to make a really important point with COVID. And I think, what's interesting, what COVID has done for everyone. What COVID has done is, A, it's made us kind of reset and rethink of preventive health. Because all of prevention about COVID is about your own immunity. Number two, people were making excuses earlier that, I don't have time to do this and I can't go to the gym and I can't do this. But all of a sudden, everybody has enough time, right?
Right.
And the third thing is people have realized that you don't need to make it fancy. You literally just need a mat and your own body weight.
Sure, yeah.
You don't need...
equipment.
You don't need equipment. You literally just need to show up and 30 minutes is all that you need.
Right, right.
And I think that has been a really good breakthrough for everyone during this time, including, for someone, even for a lot of gym goers, they always thought that they needed to be fancy.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Yeah.
Because, basic exercises like push-up, lunges, squats, when they're layered together with a little bit of intensity work thrown in, if you have no injuries, gives you a great workout, yeah? You
absolutely
don't have to make it fancy.
Yes. I mean, I can attest to that because I'm pretty much dying in every workout. So I agree. So Maya, this actually brings me to my sixth question, which is, let's be honest, working mothers, they get a lot of flack for working, let alone working out. Unfortunately, our society is obsessed with telling pregnant women what they should do and eat during pregnancy and then how to be a good mother postpartum. So it's almost a sin to do something for yourself without being judged. Mom shaming is a real thing and self-care is still a luxury. So coming into this industry, how is it for you, you know, managing all these expectations from families, relatives, or just even the society and you know, take that time out for yourself? How is that for you?
You know, I think as women, and I don't want to generalize as a women thing, but I think culturally, but that is just how it is, you know, women are very hard on themselves and they always put themselves in different compartments, and the compartments will be like being a mom, looking good after you've had your babies, you know, trying to work, trying to be a good wife, trying to be a good homemaker. And what's happened now is that everybody wants to be perfect in each compartment. Mm. And sometimes you end up putting so much pressure on yourself that you want to be perfect at everything and you almost end up feeling like you're not good at anything, you mm-hmm. know, which is ironic because you're trying so hard. And you're being so hard on yourself. But I think it is really important. Taking out time for yourself is not being selfish. And that's something I learned very early. Because when I had my kids, and I remember I'm married into a Marwari family. And they're more conservative when they see women who are pregnant. They want everyone to eat for two. And, yes. you know, they literally want you to put your feet up and really enjoy your pregnancy. And, you know, because I'd studied the science of fitness, I knew that when you're pregnant, you want to be active. You want to, if you have no complications, you want to stay moving. You know, it's a modified state of health. You're not sick. You mm-hmm. don't have to eat for two. You need to be as active as you can. Prepare your body for childbirth so that you're, and childbirth, post-childbirth is where you need to be the strongest because you need to feed your baby. You need to be energetic. You need to be functionally more active to lift your baby, pick him up, put him on your lap. Feed him, put him down. You know, there's so much work. So I think when I decided to exercise 13, 14 years ago in my pregnancy, everybody was horrified in my family.
I'm sure.
I just moved from London. They were just like, what's wrong with her? And, you know, they were constantly telling my husband that you really need to tell her to take it easy. And, you know, what's wrong? And initially that pressure did weigh on my mind.
Right.
Because there were times in my second trimester, you know, I wasn't showing that much because maybe my core was strong.
Right.
And they were like, oh my God, you know, your baby's not showing. And they were getting so judgmental on me. And I was just like, you know, of course I started second guessing myself. And I was like, you know, am I doing something wrong? But I studied it and it seems okay and I'm feeling fine. So I asked my sonologist, ultrasonologist. And I was like, listen, is my baby okay? Am I pregnant? Is there a baby in there? And he was like, listen, after very long, I've seen a good by-the-book pregnancy where this is exactly how you should be. Your baby is doing really well.
Yeah.
He's putting on, you know, the baby's putting on weight. You shouldn't be worried. Just do what you're doing because you look really healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when I had my baby, I had a normal delivery. I was really active. I bounced back. I went to the gym 3 months within having my baby. You know, I was really active around my baby, and that's what set my family. And they set the tone for my second. And they were actually quite proud. They were like, "Oh, you know, because in India everybody was having C-sex." All of a sudden, that became such a big deal.
I mean, honestly, Samaya, I don't know a single person in my circle who's delivered normally.
And that seems odd, right? Because your body is designed to deliver normally. And of course, sometimes there are complications and we can't judge people.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes I know friends of mine who've just shied away from the pain and said, you know, it just seems easier to have an epidural than have a C-sec.
Yeah.
And they just don't want to push through the labor, you know.
Sure.
So I think that was one instance that the family had seen that, you know, she knew what she was doing.
Right.
And then slowly, slowly, when my babies grew up, it was nice to be active because I have so much energy to still play tag with them. You know, during lockdown, I've been running around the kids. I've played tag with them. We played all the stuff that we used to. And I'm 42 and, you know, I still feel really great in shape to be running around my kids and actually sprinting with them.
Yep.
And similarly with work, I think it's just that I just feel if you do something you love, it just reflects on all aspects of your personality. I'm a better mom because I work. I'm a better mom because I exercise. I work better because I look after my kids. Because I'm just so happy and satisfied within all spheres of my life. Yeah.
Right.
But I just feel that I'm, very efficient and just very, very happy at what I do.
Right.
Nothing feels like a chore.
Yeah. So I'm going to throw a fitness question at you. And this is going to be a chunky question. But I've personally always wondered about it. So, the past few years have, Somaya, they've seen such a radical shift in terms of what fitness really means, it goes without saying that we live in a world where we literally wear fitness on our wrists now. We count our calories, we count our steps, and then there's this whole coven that believes that you must drink like a gallon of water a day or something of that sort.
Right. Right.
The Instagram sort of perfect bodies, the before and after snapshots, I feel like they hint at a toxicity that is sort of lurking beneath this flurry of positive affirmations. And, the internet's fitness culture does have a dark side. There are endless streams of fitness imagery that has the potential to be harmful. There are so many new mothers, talking about. Yeah, there's so many new mothers who are now being forced to snap back and look good after they deliver a baby. And, there are so many kids now who are developing eating disorders, who are consuming this content. So what is your take on that culture and how do you shield your own kids from that sort of exposure?
So, there are two things. One, it's so amazing that we recognize that preventive health is so important to us, right? Mm-hmm. To increase our longevity, to make sure that we live a happy, healthier life. And everyone knows and has access to information about what they should do and what they should eat and what they shouldn't eat and how much they need to exercise, right? Mm-hmm. But the flip side to this is that the idea of a perfect body, the idea of perfect beauty, the idea of just perfection is so exposed to our kids at such a young age, right?
Right.
That it's scary. Like my 10-year-old daughter still already has an idea of what a perfect body needs to be like. You know, that she needs to be tall and she needs to be swelled and she needs to have this kind of hair. And that's what's scary. That's the scary thing about social media, mm-hmm. right? And similarly to do with fitness, sometimes I've seen people actually now, especially during this lockdown where people have opened apps and they want to, look at fitness through digitally. And they want to do stuff at home, they've actually looked at stuff which might actually look more intimidating than doable, right? And that's what's actually just said that, I can't do this. So my whole thought on both these things are, A, that I think fitness is just a way of life. It's just that all I advocate is that you need to just make sure that you take 30 to 40 minutes out for yourself, and that could be for any kind of movement. Now, that could be for an HIIT worker, that could be you going for a walk, that could be you just walking your dog. But that has to be time where you've actually taken out to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do in terms of movement.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, movement is not just the only thing that's going to make you healthier. You need to eat a certain way. You need to at least 80% of the times eat well. And by eat well, I don't mean not eat. By eat well, I mean just put things that are nutritionally more conscious into your mouth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hold a lot more nutritional value than foods with empty calories. And similarly for my own girls, because, they see me at home. They see I'm a healthy eater. Of course, I eat the occasional chocolate cake. But, more often than not, I wouldn't eat it. So I don't want them to see that as being negative, right?
Right.
So I always tell them it's mama is not being negative or mama is not being stickler. It's literally, I'm just looking after myself for you. Like, look at your mama at 42, can still run around you and we can still race together, you know? And as you grow older, you need to be a little more careful because I don't want to get sick and I don't want to get diseases, which I can if I eat unhealthily. You are young, you guys are kids, you run around much more than mama does. And so, which is why mama has to eat a little more carefully, And I think it's really worked for my kids as well because they understand at a younger age just to eat well as opposed to eat, mindlessly.
Right. No, I mean, agreed. I think it all starts from a very young age, and I think that sort of conditioning really helps, and it bleeds into your adulthood. So I think that's fantastic that you've been able to do that. I mean, you know, Sumaya, personally, I know so many, speaking of adults now, I know so many women in my network who, believe it or not, but they fret having kids because they've struggled with weight all along, and the thought of gaining all the pregnancy weight, you know, it freaks them out. I've had so many DMs from people. So I mean, thanks to the internet that people are feeling the way that they're feeling, unfortunately, you know, people are so critical of female bodies as is, you know, that women have become conscious to the point of wanting to skip procreation altogether because they fear that, oh my God, if I get pregnant, my body is going to change forever and I'm never going to look the way I look now. So what would you say to these women who have sort of succumbed to this pressure to look desirable according to what desirable means for the society?
No, but that's the thing, like, who decides what's desirable, right? That's what I'm saying. That's the negative part of social media. For me, being fit is not how you look. Of course, you know, you want to be closer to your body weight, you know, what is your healthy body weight. And as long as you're closer to your healthy body weight, those 1 or 2 or 3 kilos don't matter, as long as you're eating well 80% of the time and you're exercising. So I've seen so many women who exercise, but just because they're not being able to achieve that perfect body, they actually have exercise anorexia, you know,
right,
which is where they like just over exercise because people are not understanding that everybody's built with a certain body type and you can't change that. You can make it definitely better and you can visually make the appearance a lot better, but you can't put on 2 inches if God has only given you 5'3" height, right?
Yeah.
Or if as an Indian woman, I have a bigger hip and that's the way I have it, but I can make that look fitter. So I think the concept of fitness is what is skewed, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what needs to change. And having babies and not, and putting off your pregnancy because that's just you being, for lack of a better word, being uneducated, because you should just have your, you know, make decisions for yourself in terms of, look, I need to be healthy and I need to be active to hold a pregnancy. And once I have the baby, I'm going to hopefully work out throughout my pregnancy. And once I have the baby, I am again going to spend time on myself to slowly but surely get back into shape and action.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't deter you from having babies.
Right. Right. I mean, babies
and
are...
most of the images, babe, most of the images on Instagram are all photoshopped.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And everybody knows that. So why are we all kidding ourselves? Yeah. Everybody knows that even the most perfect body or the most perfect woman would have probably photoshopped that picture.
Right. Right. I think I personally have succumbed to, you know, despite having the education that I've had, I've succumbed to that pressure. And I have to remind myself often that what you see on the internet is not true. So, you know, and personally, Sumaya, I've made so many excuses all my life. I've, like I was mentioning earlier, I've had phases where I worked out religiously and then that's, you know, been followed by 7 years of nothingness. It's really hard to know how much is enough. So my question to you, Sumaya, is how much per day is enough?
So, you know, you have to look at it different. So in my own mind, I've made this up. There are 2 kinds of people.
Hmm.
People who work out and people who don't. And that's how the way you are looking at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Either you work out, so you're on the wagon, or if you don't work out, you're off the wagon.
Right.
People are not just coming to the center path, which is you don't have to work out 7 days a week, 2 hours a day. You literally have to work out either 3 hours a week or break it up 3 or 4 hours a week. That's all you need. So either you can break it up into half an hour cycles or just decide that, okay, 3 hours a week, I'm going to dedicate my time to training.
Right.
And that's literally 3 hours a week.
Which is nothing.
Which is nothing.
Yeah.
So either you break it up into half an hour cycles, and the days you have more time, you put in an hour. The day you don't, you put in half an hour. But averagely, all you need is 3-3.5 hours a week to train.
Right.
And that is honestly good enough to give you a healthy balance where you adopt it as a lifestyle.
True.
And
true.
Of course, food is the most important thing. For me, I think you are what you eat.
True.
Which again says that out of you, everyone, you have 3 main meals a day, right? So if you do a basic maths, you have 21 main meals a week, right?
Right.
In those main meals, you can definitely do 3 cheat meals. So 3 cheat meals out of 21 meals is okay, right? Mm-hmm. And by cheat meals, I would say, okay, you go have your pizza and you go have a little Chinese meal laden with gluten, or you go have your dessert,
Right.
But at least 80% of the time, just be really nutritionally conscious with what you're eating. And that's so important for your own health.
Mm.
Forget how you look.
Yeah.
It's just to prevent the onset of any kind of disease.
Sure. And Soumya, how frequently do you work out? And what are your workouts composed of?
So you're talking to somebody who, you know, sometimes I laugh at myself because I give this lecture of, you know, only you only need to work out 3 hours a week.
Precisely why I asked.
Because, you know, I'm coming from, you're talking to someone who in her 30s, late 20s and 30s, wanted to work out 6 days a week, 1.5 hours a day. And if I didn't get that 1.5 hours, I'd be like, oh my God, I might as well not work out, right?
Yeah.
And then when I had my kids and my business picked up, I had to start looking at working out very differently. It had to become that, listen, this is something I need to do. Again, I don't want to do it 6 days a week, 1.5 hours a day, because I want to recover. I don't want to just put in all my energy at the gym and not have any energy for my kids.
Right.
So I started looking at working out very differently. And that's the lecture I give today, because I realized that, you know what? That even just 4 hours of movement a week are great. And they let me be in such good shape. I think I'm the fittest that I'm in my 40s and I've been in my 30s, because I think there was a time where I was over-exercising and I was not recovering, because then I had kids at home and I had my work, because in my 20s, I had no other obligation than just loving my husband and going for a workout, right?
Right.
I didn't have a business and I didn't have kids.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, I physically shouldn't have extracted so much out of my body, because I had so many other things to do. And this is what I want to tell everyone, that you don't have to get intimidated by how much time you need to spend in the gym or working out. Mm. You just need to say that you need to spend 3 hours a week. That's all.
Correct.
And you'll realize that 3 hours a week is enough.
Mm. And
to give you results.
And so Soumya,
you just need to be consistent, not say,
I'm
getting married, so I'm going to work out 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. Once I get married, it's not going to happen.
No, but
I just had a baby.
Soumya, this is what most people do. And I have had so many different conversations with my friends, and I keep telling them that don't lose weight because you're getting married. Because the thing is, the day you get married, you won't really have an incentive to keep working out anymore. So
lose weight because of how you feel, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So Soumya, is fitness a thing at your place then? Like, are your husband and kids as inclined towards working out and staying fit?
You know, if anybody who followed me during this quarantine time, my husband always looks at me and said, you know, he jokes at me. He's like, you know, ever since I've married you, you've ruined my life. Because I always feel you're looking at my food and you're looking at what I'm doing. And I'm like, you know, I'm not.
Oh my God.
And he'd always make excuses, but this is the first time where during the lockdown, he made time to exercise with us, with me. My kids spent time with me. We did this as a family activity, just 20 minutes. You know, I used to get them together for 20 minutes. It was so much fun. And I think everyone's realized that all it takes is 20 minutes, including me, of 20 or 30 minutes of activity. And now it's become a thing in our family, honestly, just literally in this lockdown time.
That's amazing.
You know, Rudy and I, we go for a walk together in the evening. And if we haven't gone for a walk together, he'll join one of my boot camps. And even if he can't stick the whole boot camp out, he'll at least try and do 20% of the workout. And that's so much fun, you know. My daughters will join me for the warm-up when I'm hosting a boot camp. And they'll run away because it'll be too hard for them. But at least they'll come, you know. They're not intimidated by it. And then they joke with each other. We make fun of each other, you know, how somebody else is doing it. And then they'll take videos of Papa and Mama exercising together and how Mama is kicking Papa's ass, you know. So it's fun.
So now the next couple of questions are more of request questions that I actually received prior to us figuring out, you know, what we'd like to chat about. So one of the most popular questions that I sort of got in the poll was, you know, there is this general perception that thin is fit. And we all know that that's not true. I mean, I can attest to that, because at my leanest, my arms were floppy and my core strength was non-existent. So what is your opinion on that?
I think being fit is just being super sexy. I don't think because if you're thin, because I've seen so many, like you said, so many women who are naturally lean.
Yeah.
But they can have high body fat percentages, right? Because they're not training, so they don't have enough muscle. And similarly, a woman who probably trains might weigh a little more than someone who is exactly the same height, of the other person, but she's actually a lot fitter.
Mm-hmm.
So being fit is literally how you feel energetically, you know, how your body, whether your body's toned or not, whether you're looking good in your clothes, or whether you're being able to run up a flight of stairs, whether you can you lift up your kids and walk, you know.
Right.
For me, being fit is that, not just thin. And of course, if you're eating well 80% of the time and you're exercising 3-4 hours a week, that's all. Of course, you're going to look good. It's the science of the body.
Right.
You are going to come closer to your body weight if you're consistent. You will look better. Your body fat percentage will drop. And then all of a sudden, you'll start getting addicted to how much you can extract from your body.
Sure.
As opposed to how you're just looking. You know?
It's like a challenge. True. So the next question that I received was that a couple of people actually said this. So they said that, you know, they had normal blood work and they've been working out regularly, but they're unable to shed the pounds. And they've never been able to quite figure out why that is. And a few people said, is it the changing environment? Is it the water? Where do people most commonly go wrong, in your opinion, Sumaya?
I think first things first is, like you said, blood work is really important because, you know, we all realize that we're working in such high stress environments.
Mm.
And even when your stress hormone is high, your cortisol hormones are high, you will, even though you're putting in all the effort, you might not lose weight because the stress hormone makes you hold body fat. That's one.
Mm.
Number two, with women, you know, your hormones keep changing.
Mm.
You know, even in your late 20s, your early 30s. So you always want to keep a check on your hormones, how well they're doing.
Sure.
You know, so constantly get that check once every year if you're struggling. Second is, a lot of times I feel people are, they say they're making an effort, but, you know, they'll still have a bite here and there, and it all adds up, right?
It does.
So it's, are you really eating healthy?
Mm.
You know, and what I recommend people to do is then journal it. Just keep a diary for only 1 week. That's it. Just journal your life for 1 week.
Mm.
And if you're cheating, write it down. If you're not cheating, write it down. And see how you're doing. And when you start journaling, you actually realize that, oh, I'm actually eating chocolate cake almost every other day.
Yeah.
And I ate a Chinese meal almost every other day. And these are all foods that, it's not like food is good or bad. It's just that certain foods are allergens in the body, you know?
True.
And you might not be full-blown allergic to it, but if you might hold extra water, or if you're eating too much salt, that might show up in weight gain.
Mm.
Or if you're eating dairy and it's not working for you, you'd be bloated all the time. So you've really got to be in touch with the food you're eating and how you feel.
Right. And my second last question is a highly requested question, which is, what can people do? I love that these questions are like so centered around weight loss. But this question is, what can people do to speed up their metabolism with age? Are there specific foods that they can consume? Is there a secret sauce?
To speed up your metabolism, you need to exercise, number one. You need to weight train.
You need to weight
train. That's one. You need to weight train. That's one. Number two, you can try intermittent fasting. That really does help reset your system. And that, you know, that's something that you can try for, you know, maybe 2 days of the week. You don't have to do it all the time. You can try the 16-8 hour fast, just 2 days of the week. Or you can make sure that you're eating really well and really healthy, which means that you're not doing any cheat meals for a month, and really see, give your body a chance to recover. Because every time you eat foods laden with a lot of dairy and a lot of pasta and a lot of gluten, you're actually slowing your system down.
Right.
Because digestively, you're putting all your energies in your digestive fire, you
mm-hmm.
know. So you really want to make sure that you're eating clean food.
Mm-hmm.
And I think metabolism is the only science to increase your metabolism. There are no foods really. People say, oh, eat chili or eat cinnamon. It's really just, you just need to move. Your metabolism will remain high if you're active.
Right. Now,
and literally, that's all there is to it.
You know, Sumaya, you just talked about intermittent fasting. So I wanted to ask you that there are so many, like, internet fads these days. You know, we all know that diets are a big thing. You have like keto, paleo, Atkins. I didn't even know there was something called South Beach, vegan,
right,
and so on and so forth. So do diets work? Are they supposed to be done in bursts, or are they supposed to be a lifestyle? I'm asking you this because I've always had this big question mark in my mind about how sustainable this is. For example, I've never tried keto, but I've had friends who've lost a lot of weight, say almost 6 kilos in a month, you know, because it's such a low carb diet. And then they told me that once they started incorporating carbs into their diet, the weight sort of came up. And I've always been on the edge about diets, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of people who are listening to us have also wondered about which diets actually work. So what should people really be doing aside from working out?
I think, firstly, they are not all these that you mentioned, the keto, the paleo, the South Beach, intermittent fasting, they're not really diets. You know, they were actually nutrition programs that were made for specific purposes, right?
Uh-huh.
Like the South Beach and the paleo diet was made out of from people who were suffering from heart disease. Mm. Intermittent fasting came around because people realized that when you rest your digestive fire, you're actually letting your body reset itself at cellular level. So these are actually things where you look at food differently. So yeah. I think for everyone, there is nothing called as a diet. For me, you need to figure out what works for you. You need to eat to lose weight. That's number one. But you need to eat the right kind of things to lose weight. And I think in my experience of so many years, and, you know, also as a woman, being pregnant, trying to lose the weight, you know, with each phase of my life, my body's also changed. And I've realized, and I've studied this, and science actually supports this as well, that you just need to make sure you're eating good quality grains, not always refined grains. You're cutting down on sugar. You're cutting down on gluten for as far as possible. If dairy is not working for you, cut down on dairy. Just really listen to your body. Mm. I think a lot of times we are just eating mindlessly.
True. Yeah, no, that's true. We don't even realize how much.
And journaling really changes everything. I would strongly recommend even for you, you know, pick a plan which is just plan that allows you your 2 servings of fruit a day. It requires you to eat a serving of protein a day. It requires you to eat your yogurt. It requires you to eat your healthy grains, which could be brown rice, quinoa, you know, once in a while your white rice, eat your dal, eat your vegetables. And are you really eating all of that? And you'll really, once you start journaling, you realize that you're actually not even eating just simple food.
Yeah.
You're just eating all out of a packet all the time.
True. I mean, I've been journaling my food, I think, for like 4 years now. I use MyFitnessPal. I know a lot of people are into macro counting and stuff like that. I know all of that makes sense. But true, like when I started journaling my food, I realized, oh my God, I thought I was eating healthy, but I'm really not. Because all these like 10 and 20 and 30 calories, they all add up. And I think this is one of the most common mistakes that people make. They think.
And the other thing is not listening to your body. So journaling also means like, oh, did a red apple cause me acidity? Because imagine I can't eat a red apple. A red apple causes me a lot of acidity, but I can eat every other food and I don't have acidity. So how do you feel? Like, everyone's going off dairy. You don't have to go off dairy. You know, there's a reason why you want to go off dairy. A, of course, if you want to look at the hormonal angle, you want to go off dairy. But is dairy making you bloat? Is dairy making you, you know, is it irritating your IBS? So you need to also understand how food makes you feel.
Right.
And I think that's where you need to pay attention. If food is making you feel happy, but that doesn't mean like you eat chips and you feel happy. No. It means how, even when you're journaling your good food, is that really working for you?
True. Agreed. So Maya, I have a very existential question for you now, which is, if you were not a fitness expert, what would you be?
Me?
Yeah.
I think I would be a makeup artist.
Really? I wasn't expecting that.
I know. You know why?
Why?
Because I just love makeup. And you when you see me on Instagram, of course, I do fitness. And this is one thing I decided, that I would not show up with like crazy amounts of makeup on Instagram, because I wanted to portray that it is real, right?
True.
But if you see a little bit of my feed, you'll see that I love dressing up. So if I'm not in my sweatpants, you will see that I love dressing up. I love, you know, I love makeup. And I think it's just so much fun to being artistically inclined. So I think that's where it's coming from.
I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, she's probably going to say something related to sports, but, you know, not directly.
No.
No, but that's awesome. That is so good to know that.
I think I would be a fab makeup artist, by the way.
I think so, too. Well, now that I think about our episode, the artwork photo of yours, I mean, I looked at that photograph and I was floored. I was like, oh my god, if I was a guy, I would totally hit
on her. I have a split personality. As I'm like totally down and dirty, and you always see me in sweatpants, and I'd like do boot camp in the rain with like 20-year-old boys, like literally, I'd dig my fingers and nails into the wet grass, and then you'll see me in 6-inch stilettos with like false eyelashes.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing that you have those two sides, because I think that is what pleasantly surprises people. No, I think that's amazing. And I'm glad I asked you that question. So, all right. So, Maya, we've surprisingly reached
an hour.
We've reached the end of the episode. And this last section, every episode on The Lavender Fix, it sort of ends with a little takeaway section. So Maya, what advice do you have for those who are struggling to develop a positive relationship with eating healthy and or grappling with hitting their fitness goal, whether it's losing weight, speeding up their metabolism, or gaining muscle?
I think the only advice I would have for them is to listen to your body, journal everything. Mirror is not always, that's not the only way to track your progress. See how you're feeling. Are you feeling happy? Are you feeling energetic? You know, can you climb a flight of stairs? And slowly, slowly, if you are consistent, your hard work will pay off and it will show in the mirror, because it has to. It's a science. Right. So don't get impatient.
Right. Simple. I love it.
Simple. It's literally as simple as that.
Yeah. Any last words before we wrap up?
I think my last word would be just be passionate. You know, I feel that the younger generation, including my kids, they just lack passion. And, you know, I think people have gotten so busy doing their everyday chores and their, you know, streamlined careers that they're not really acting upon what they're truly passionate about. And I feel, and this is for, you know, the young listeners out there, if you're really passionate about something, and that could be something as simple as being a makeup artist, if you're really good at it, you will shine. You know, you will go for it. So I think people need to sit back and really ask themselves, what are they really passionate about? I think people have lost the word passion.
That's true. I mean, it took me a while to actually kickstart this podcast, but I'm glad
I did.
Exactly.
And look how well you're doing.
Yay. Thank you. Look how well I'm doing to the point that I have Sumaya on the show. Yes.
Not at all.
but thanks, Sumaya, for joining me. I feel like this was a jackpot of a conversation, and I hope that our listeners have learned something new today and will incorporate some of your super valuable tips in their own lives. Yes, of course. And I'm also super grateful to all our listeners for tuning in. I hope that you guys enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. And I will see you guys again next week. Till then, chin up.
Yeah.